I want to talk to us today, under this Bible study. I want to talk about the leading, being led by the Holy Spirit. Being led by the what? By the Holy Spirit. Very critical. I'm not talking about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's two different things. What I'm talking about today is what? Being led by what? By the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 13. Chapter 8, 13 to 14. Why it's important? Why it's important to be led by the Holy Spirit? Why we must be led by the Holy Spirit? Why we must even understand? And let me even ask a question. Because it's common. I mean, when you hear what comes to your mind, how do you think that you should be led? What is being led by the Holy Spirit? When you see somebody, you say, the Holy Spirit is really leading this person. What is it that makes you think? They're filled with the Word of God, okay? What is, if you see somebody, or if you go to a church, or you go to a gathering, how do you see one person from the other and say, this person is led by the Holy Spirit? Do you know there is an anomaly where people think that being led by the Holy Spirit is maybe that somebody comes in here and begins to shout and say, oh, Lord, Lord. That they say, man, this guy is really full of the Spirit. Or if he wants to say everything, he says, the Lord says. They say, man, this guy is what? He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Or if it's time for praying or everything, his own prayer, he's shouting more than everybody is kicking. They say, man. So there's that thing. Or if any church, every time he says, Tall, says the Lord, Tall. Right? People can say, man, that man is really a fill of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit. But anyway, let's see. Let's begin to see what it is and how it goes. Because it's very important, because we must be led by the Spirit. So it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will what? You will die. Right? He said, if you live by the flesh, you will do what? You will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will do what? You will live. So which means, other words, what is just to break that? It says that if you are led by the flesh, you will die. If you are led by the Spirit, you will live. So it's either you are being led by the flesh or you're being led by the Spirit. There's no middle ground. Praise the Lord. So if being led by the Spirit is what will give you life, then boy, I want to be led by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. Verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are what? So in other words, if a person is led by the flesh, they're not a child of God. Period. I'm not the one, that's what God is saying. So unless a person is being led by the Spirit, if the person is not being led by the Holy Spirit, that person is not a child of God. So then, for us to be children of God, and for us to live and not die, it becomes very critical and very important that we are what? We are led by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So that's why it's very important. I want to bring us why I'm looking at being led by the Spirit. So that we know in our hearts why we have to be led by the Spirit. So immediately, we know that if we're not being led by the Spirit, we are dying. It's dead. So it's amazing there. See, that's what happened for someone to be planting corn and be expecting mango. So now, if somebody's not being led by the Spirit and they're expecting to have joy, they're expecting to enjoy life, they're expecting to have peace, it's just because like madness, doing something different and always expecting a different result. But if you understand this, then upfront going with your life, you know that if I want to live, I need to be led by the Spirit. Praise the Lord. So the first thing is to recognize and agree that there is a Holy Spirit. Because first of all, if it says, if you're led by the flesh, you will die, but if you're led by this Holy Spirit, you will live. So first of all, for one to be led by the Spirit, there first has to be an acceptance and a recognition that a Holy Spirit does exist. Amen? Do you guys understand me? I mean, that's where we must start. It's not just to start telling a person, be led by the Spirit. The first thing first has to know that there is a Holy Spirit and that it exists.
They have to now accept that there is a spirit. So in other words, now, if I'm going to be, first of all, so if I'm going to be the pastor of this church, first of all, you have to accept that there is a need for a pastor. Right? Because if you don't, if the person comes, you're going to say, what is he doing? Let's sit down. We all know what we're supposed to say. So that's why, first of all, for you to be led by anything, you must recognize that that thing exists. And then you must accept the existence of that thing. Praise the Lord. So same thing with the Holy Spirit. If we have now agreed that, look, if we live by the flesh, we will die. But if we live by the Holy Spirit, we will live. And if we do not live by the Spirit, that we are not sons of God, it becomes tricky that we want to be led by that Spirit. Then we have to take a step back and say, is there a Holy Spirit? Praise the Lord. So let's look at the book of John chapter 14. That's where we start. Recognizing the Holy Spirit and accepting His presence. John chapter 14 from 16 to 18. And here is Jesus Christ speaking. And He says, I will do what? I will ask the Father and He will give you another advocate who will never leave you. Verse 17. He is what? He is. Now, you see that He's not saying it, right? He's saying He. So what He's saying is that this is a living organism. It's very important to know that. Because you are living. So a thing cannot lead a living thing. This house cannot lead me. Right? It's very important. He is the Holy Spirit. And what does He do? He leads into what? All truth. So there is a Holy Spirit, and what He does, He leads to all truth. So now, recognizing that there is a Holy Spirit, and that you, us that want to be led by that Spirit, that what we are seeking for is the truth. Praise the Lord. You see, you need to be seeking the truth. That's why there's religious acts. You know, people in their, there's no sincerity in the heart that they want to know the truth. So religion, they might shout in all kinds of different things. It might be for position. It might be to prove something. Whatever reasons, why they say, you'd be amazed why people go to a church. But He says that to live, we need to be led by the Spirit. And that there is a Holy Spirit that he said, I pray the Father to send you that Spirit. And He said that Spirit is called, He is the Holy Spirit. And what He does is He leads to what? Into all truth. All. Not to some. All. So any truth about your life, any truth that you will know, He says it's the Holy Spirit that will lead you to it. So now, we must be first people who are searching for the truth. Praise the Lord. We are not searching to, we are not doing it so we can argue somebody. We are not doing it so we can put somebody down. We are not doing it so we can prove our point. We are seeking for the truth. So, it says the world cannot do what? Receive Him because it is what? It's not looking for Him. It's not looking for the truth. That's why they can't receive. That's why I said, first of all, you must recognize and accept. Very important. Why it can't have it, the world can't have it, is because, him, not a it, I apologize. It's a him. Why they cannot receive Him and does not recognize Him is because they are not what? They are not looking for Him. But you know Him because He lives with you now, and later will do what? Will be in you. Praise the Lord. So the second is to accept His leading by yielding to Him in all things. So now that it is for people who are seeking the truth, and all He does is to lead people to the truth. So if we come looking for the truth, for Him to lead us, we must yield. Praise the Lord. No one, anything you look down on can never bless you. I don't care what it is. Is it your school? Is it your siblings? Is it your wife? Is it your husband? Is it your job? That's why I tell people many times, no matter what the devil does sometimes to Christians, they don't understand, and that's the flesh, is that their source of income, their source of life, they continue cursing it out of frustration. They say, this business has spoiled. Money cannot be made in it anymore. Now it's just suffering. They just keep, you understand? They keep, that's what they keep saying. That's what they keep saying. Praise the Lord. So first of all, you must yield. We must yield completely to him in all things. John chapter 6, 16. So the second thing, after we have found out that there is a Holy Spirit and that what he does is lead to truth, and we are seeking the truth, we must, it's a decision you make in your heart. It must be made. That's what the Bible keeps saying, is that these things happen first in the heart. There's a lot of frustration. See, these are fundamental teachings. That's why I tell you that this is a tremendous sowing time. A lot of Christians don't know these things I'm teaching. They don't know it. They don't know it at all. So they go to operate a business that they don't understand the fundamentals of that business, and they keep failing. So you see, like, you now, you hear that people are, what happened in from 2004 to 2006 in the housing market is that all of a sudden they're building houses, and some people who were earning 20,000 were buying house, mortgaging that one, buying out. They said there's so much money to make that. So everybody and their mother became experts in realtor. That's what happened. That's what crashed the market. So everybody just saw it. They don't understand the fundamentals of it. Everybody saw, this is good. Money to be made. So everybody rushed in there. And because they don't know the fundamentals of it, when the whole thing comes crashing, they're the ones that did what? God hit the most. That's what happened with Christianity. Oh, God is blessing people. Oh, God loves people. Which is all true. But not understanding God, not understanding how it works, not knowing what they have to decide and what they are looking for, everybody did what? Troops in. And they're always the ones that get disappointed. They're always the ones that have the bad report about church. Because there was no understanding of what is it is and what they are coming to what? To do. So, he says, I still have many things to say. This is Jesus Christ talking to them. You know, Jesus Christ is the head of the church. That's what the Bible calls him. He said, and we are the body of Christ. So, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. However, when he, the Spirit of what again? Of truth, has come, he will do what? He will guide you into all truth. So he's also the guide. So if he's your guide, if you're climbing mountains or you're going to any place you don't know, what you do, you continue to listen to your guide. So you first know that you have a guide. You know where that guide came from, how that guide operates, how he speaks. So now, and then yield to it. You also have to decide to yield to it. Because you can come to that place, he's saying, everybody take right. You'll be going. Have you seen a GPS? GPS. You guys know GPS, right? So many times, you know, sometimes you put where you're going. Then he comes, he's telling you, make right. Many people say, he doesn't know what he's saying. Right? And many times you say, he doesn't know what he's saying. You end up somewhere, and then all of a sudden, you finally decide to do what? To follow the GPS. So, for GPS to have value to you, you must have accepted and yield to it and say that it's your guide. Especially when you're going where you don't know. So it comes turn here. You'll be turning and you don't know where you're turning to. Until one day you say you have arrived, you say, wow, this is the place. But if you don't accept the guiding of the GPS, if you don't yield yourself to the GPS, it can't take you to the place. So the Spirit, we must first yield ourselves. After he comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority. You see now, because now the Spirit, what he's doing is not his own authority, But whatever he hears, he will speak and he will tell you things to come. Whatever he hears, when we go to the next one, he says, where is he here? So now, you see, he's the one now that is God. He said, he has put, he says, now you guide them. As you hear me, be telling them what to do. As you hear me, be telling them what to do. So instead, so you don't know the Spirit exists, you don't yield to the Spirit, and then you come, you say you're going to hear God. Continue verse 14. He will glorify who? Me. For he will take of what is mine and do what? So it is him that is, it is the ministry of the Holy Spirit that is on now. Christ said, I'm leaving. I'll send him. But it is still me, but he's the one now that is going to now be deciphering. He'll be taken from me. So it is me speaking. It is me directing, seated at the right hand of the Father. But it is him implementing. Do you see why we must be led by his Spirit? Why we must now come yield to it? We're going somewhere. I'm just laying foundations. That's important to know. I'll take this step by step, step by step. So you see finally how you live your life through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's incredible because if you begin to live your life through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have a lot of victory. You have so much testimony. Even when you're going through pressure, the people around you will not even know. Because the Holy Spirit is guiding you. I mean, so you're going to Florida, you don't know your way to Florida. If you have GPS, are you stressing in the car? You're not stressing. Why are you not stressing? You trust the GPS and yield yourself to it. But somebody who does not keep stopping at every gas station, say, where are we going? You see, how you know people who are being led by the flesh? Like Ngozi said, they don't have their mood. You can tell. Every time you see them, they're complaining. They're not sure. They're here now. Very inconsistent. They start something, they change their mind. Why they change their mind is for no reason. They change their mind for, like this Bible study, he can stop coming, says, whenever I'll come over here, only him is talking. He can change his mind. The thing that changes their mind is just so little. It can just be that, when I come here, they don't have any cookies. But the person decided that they're going to start going. But you see how that's how you know people are not led. Immediately the flesh, I'll show you. It's incredible, the Bible. It just changes. It changes. And when you tell him the reason he'll be giving you, as a matter of fact, if he's a child, you want to flog him. He will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. So no one else can make that decision to follow. No one else can make this decision for you to follow the Spirit. It's a decision that we must make for ourselves. Without this key fundamental decision, it will be in vain that we are being led. So the Holy Spirit can sit here and yell, and I'll show you how, and shout from now till tomorrow, you will just do what you want to do. So the GPS will say, make a right, make a right, make a right, you will make a left. And face the disaster. Praise the Lord. So like the saying says, there's a saying that goes, it says that you can lead the horse to where? The water, but you do what? You can't make him to drink. He has to accept. Has to accept to drink. So the Holy Spirit, God's giving guide for us to navigate life. So Christ says, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm leaving. He said, but I'll send him so that he can help you navigate. How many people got my the church invitation for Bible study today? Did you get? You see, it's incredible. You saw them. Peter says to God, and you see, that thing happened after a Bible study. I didn't have time to go to it. If you look at the top of it, there was a Bible. Jesus was teaching a Bible study. So after Jesus finished doing Bible study, some people got really angry. He says that I'm the bread of life. He began to speak things that are spirit word. They got mad. He said, they walked out. They all refused to come to Bible study. He said, then he turned around. Jesus said, do you people also want to do what? Leave. Then Peter answered that question that I sent today. He says, where else are we what? Where else are we going? We have found out that you are the one that has the word of life. Peter has made the decision that he will follow.
And he has made a decision that if he does not follow this word, he will follow the flesh and he will die. He knew all of that. Those people that walked out did not know that the other way is dead. They didn't know that. Nobody knowingly go to be killed, you know. Very rarely. Nobody knowing. They didn't know that the other side was dead. Because if they knew, they would have answered the same thing Peter said. Peter, because he said, Peter, you want to leave too? Because Peter said, where else are we going to go? Praise the Lord. So now, so if the Spirit says, sit down, you can't say, I'm not going to sit. Because you will now ask yourself, where else am I going to go? So if he's telling me to sit down, the best thing for me now is to what? Is to sit down. It's to sit down. So it's given to navigate us through life. Because life is not a joke. This life we are in is not a joke. Without the leading of the Holy Spirit, we will make a destruction of our life. We'll make choices. We'll do, because the Bible teaches us, it says that God knows all things. So the Holy Spirit knows tomorrow. But you don't know that the relationship you are in now, that you're laughing and he's your best friend, you don't know that it's that same person that is going to kill you next week. But the Holy Spirit knows it. So when you come to align with that thing, if you were listening to him, even how great as it look, he tells you not. So we don't know life. The issues of life are so complicated. Traveling around America that you've never been is complicated. That's why GPS is one of the greatest things that was done for traveling. So we don't know. And it is that same spirit that he gave us to overcome every obstacle. Because there's a lot of obstacles. But the Spirit knows it, because he says that he guides. He says the Spirit. He says into all truth. So he knows false. So immediately he says false. He says, no, this is not the truth. Let's move. Immediately it's not the truth. He takes you away from it. Because he guides you into what? Truth. So he knows false. But you see, me and you, we don't know false and truth. There are some things that glitter and they are not gold. But to us, being human and having our senses, we immediately start blinging. That's why little kids, what you do for them, if they start crying, you make something. That's how you can tell a kid from an adult, right? You can tell that this kid, he doesn't have any sense. He's only being led by blink. So you start turning some light. Completely, that's how you get him. So the Holy Spirit, obstacles of life, challenges of life. But the Holy Spirit, we need to understand, we'll start going, the Holy Spirit does not lead anybody by force. He does not do what? No, not by force. His guidance to us must be accepted. It must be accepted, except if we yield ourselves to him, giving complete right to walk through us. That's when the Holy Spirit is able to guide us. So the first step in being yielded is to know how you are being guided. How does he guide? How does the Holy Spirit guide? Second thing is that we listen. If we find out how he guides, if he guides by talking, if he guides by sign, however he guides, we need to know how he guides. Then if we know it, to now begin to listen in that way. So in other words, it's like listening to the right frequency. Do you know that there's a lot of frequencies coming in here? Right? There's a lot of frequencies. But the only one we are listening is to this frequency. But you can put FM, and there are a lot of frequencies coming in now. So, but if you know the frequency through which he speaks in, you can now do what? Tune yourself to that frequency, listen to that frequency, and then accept completely whatever is coming from that frequency. Praise the Lord. What did I say? That first, being yielded is to know how he guides. How he guides. Listening to how he guides. Amen. Accepting it completely. Because we have identified the frequency. We listen only to that frequency. And accept whatever is coming from there. Any other thing becomes confusion. So now if you put multiple choose 91.1, 92, put all of them and they start playing, what we're going to have is confusion. I don't care. The five of them might be playing great songs, but you will live with nothing. Praise the Lord.
I'm really taking my time here. Because I really want us. This is very important. I really want us to understand why and how. So we accept God. We depended to our instruction of that of him. Or we depend completely to his instructions. So for example, a horse is dependent on his movement completely on the bit that is in his mouth. He yields completely. So if you pull it this way, it goes this way. If a horse is not completely yielded to that bit, that horse will make a wreck of his life. Same thing, a sheep. Sheeps have rudder. No matter how big that sheep is, he's completely yielded to that rudder. Whenever that rudder moves, that sheep moves. And the Bible uses that as an example. James chapter 3, verse 3 to 4. It says, indeed, we put bits in what? In horses' mouths, that they may be what? That they may obey us, and we turn their what? Their whole body. They yield to that bit completely. They yield to it completely, completely. Verse 4. Look also at what? At ships. Although they are so large and are driven by what? Fierce winds. In life, you can be whatever you think you know. Driven, you could be so large, you are the political leader. Understand that you are driven by fierce wind. They are driven by fierce winds, so large and driven by fierce winds. They are turned by a very what? Small rudder. They yield continually, even though there's big winds that push them. What they respond to is what? That rudder that they have yielded to, that's what guides me. The wind does not guide me. So if the wind is blowing this way and the rudder put like this, they start pushing, even if it's contrary to the wind. They begin to push. Praise the Lord. Are you guys with me? Does anyone have any question before I continue? So I don't care what it is. So don't make excuses. Don't give explanations. Just yield. That's what the Bible used. I use these two examples. Just because immediately that horse begins to have his own idea, even though that bit is so small. I start looking down on that bit. I say, I'm going to pull it out of my mouth. I'm not going to. It becomes useless. It becomes useless. Same with that sheep. Praise the Lord. I say, praise the Lord. Let's look at the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 5 to 6. Again, this is Bible study. That's why we're going to a lot of. Somebody that came to our church and has joined came to me and said, Pastor, will I be right to conclude that our church is a teaching church? It's a word church. I say, yes. Our church is a word. He said, yes. I think that's what I came to a conclusion. I say, do you have any question? No. I say, wouldn't you have thought? I say, do you know what is important about word? He said, no. I say, you know, healing can just heal. But words make whole. And words empower you to heal yourself. I say, so a word church is a healing church. It is a prosperity church. It's all that kind of churches that you have been going to, that they say, oh, we do here, we heal. I say, the word church covers all of it. That the power to do all that things is what? I say, so this church is a complete church. Praise the Lord. The word of God. And he said that is completely true. He said that is completely true. I'm talking about Graham. So he was in the hospital. The chief charged him yesterday. He said, you know, all the things I was hearing. He said, when I sat there, when you came and said me, after you finished speaking, he said, I'm leaving. I said, when they finish this test, I'm leaving. He said, by the time the doctor comes, when I was doing the test, they started doing stress tests. He said, I was running over there. They said, take it. I said, no. I said, the God has given me power. I said, I'm healed sickness. He said, I was so confident. They went through us. They said, everything is fine. He says, before I would have been so scared. He says, and they said, you can go. Say, they discharged me. I said, yes, you see. I didn't come to lay hands on you. But I said, the word gave you strength. And you went on it. He says, yes. I said, so the word does everything. I said, so this church does everything. Praise the Lord. For those who live according to the flesh, they do what? They set their minds on the things of the flesh.
I'll go more into this. You see,
do you know that whenever we think of the flesh, you see, when you think about mango, all you'll be thinking of is the fruit of mango, right? But you know that the fruit of the mango is the end of the process. Do you understand? If that tree is sick, it won't bear in the first place. So before you see that fruit, the process has been going for years. That was the end of the process. So if you go now to attack the mango only by the fruit, it's too late. Because if that tree is strong and it's well, it's just going to keep producing. You get tired. So the issue first, the flesh is not its fruit. We'll look at the flesh really is the tree. So immediately you take care of the tree, you'll be way ahead before the flesh shows up. But what happens is that, before the fruit shows up, what happens is that we think that those fruits are the flesh. So we go and be rushing over there to resolve it, but the seed has already been sowed, it is grown, and it becomes a struggle. We can't do it. Anyway, for those who live according to the flesh, they set their minds on the things of the flesh. So like you started saying earlier that the fruit of the Spirit is the word. Like today, if we are said it's a party and there's this new movie is being shown over here, the person will just come. All his mind is the thing that fits me, makes me happy, how I feel. I say my mind can push me around. It's me. It's going to make money for me. It's going. Everything is just what gratifies, that's all for him. He said that's where he sights his mind. So when he's planning, he's not thinking about you. When they say love people, he said, I've given him something now. If he doesn't want, let him leave. All he's thinking about is he sets his mind only on the things that are superficial, the things he can see, the things he can hear. So if they hear, they say today that President Obama is going to be attending the church, or if that he came over here, this church today, that your hand was bent like this, and when you were leaving, it straight out. All he can see. He comes to lose you at your house. He says, oh yeah, see what the Lord has got. My hand was bent. He too do what? He rushed and come. He sets his mind only on flesh. Things he can see. See, but those who live according to the Spirit, they do what? They also set their mind to things of what? To things of the Spirit. That's where their eye is. So you're telling them, you run over here, they're sharing money. What is first thinking, Lord? Is that where I'm supposed to be today? You know, I lost my uncle, and so they buried him last week. So they said, are you coming? I said, no, I can't come. He said, I don't go, your father's home. I said, I'm just planting a new church. They said, but your wife too is a pastor and daughter, why don't you just leave it? It's only one Sunday. I said, no. That the Lord says that if I put my hand on the plow, that I should not do what? I should not look back. You see, it does not make sense. The person says, so do you mean going to bury your uncle and looking back? Yeah, me leaving a church that is 4 months old, is 2 months old, to go and bury my uncle, I'm looking back. Within 1 month of church, if you show up here, they say, pastor has traveled to Nigeria, how are you going to feel? Is he going to encourage you? By the flesh, so the people who are dealing only by the flesh, they'll look at that. But no, people are leading by the Spirit, saying, Lord, yes, he has died. Now he's dead. Lord, this is your work. What do we do? He's not always thinking about how he feeds me. He's thinking about how is the body, what makes the body of Christ grow. For God so loved the world, the way he was led by the Spirit, that he came and did what? He showed himself that what he does is that it's not about him. That's why he's the ruler. That's why he's lifted up above everything. Verse 6. For to be carnally minded is what? Is death. But to be spiritually minded is what? Life and what? And peace. See, that's what the only thing he said that he says. How you know somebody who is mentally spiritual is that they have what? They have peace. They are spiritually minded. So their peace is not lost because they've taken light.
Have you seen Christians just walk into their house? Or their wife, or they just said something little. It did not suit how they want. Oh my goodness. The whole Christianity dies. Being led by the flesh. Or go try to share something. Do business. Bring money together. Man. If he was supposed to have $2, if he has not gotten $2, oh my, sorry when I call people name. My brother Chike here challenged me the other day. You know, I've known him for a long time. He said something very important. There's a deal he's doing. He turned and he looked at me and said, Pastor, say, you know if it's before, I know what I've gone to do to that building. He said, but yeah, this thing that they're saying now, I don't know how to go and do that. Be led by the Spirit. He said if it was before, this deal now, this thing that is happening, he said, I know. He said, it's not like I don't know. I know what I would have done right now. He said, now, see, to be kind. So now, instead, he's thinking beyond just me, kind of. Now the Spirit is guiding him. He said, this thing you're going to go do now, is it edifying? Does it glorify the Lord? He said, well, then leave it for me. See how the thinking begins to change. Being led by the Spirit. So we can either be yielded to the flesh or to the Spirit. When we are not yielding to the Spirit, the flesh takes control. It takes control. So what is the flesh? What is the flesh? Before I go, does anybody want to chip in some? What do they think the flesh is?
Flesh must die.
Flesh must die. Flesh must die. Flesh must die. It refused to die. Shout. The thing refused to die. Is it just talking that it must die? It will not die. It does not die by your will. So what is the flesh? Anyone? Okay, go ahead. You as human. Yes. That's right. Yes. Absolutely. You're just a mere man. That's what the Bible called it. Ordinary person. Praise the Lord. Let's look at 1 John 2:15 to 17. Well, now we're just going to look at what is the flesh, because if we are going to not live by it, we need to know it before now we begin to look at the Spirit and His leading. So, 15 says what? Do not do what? Do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. For when you love the world, you do not have what? And when people see it sometimes, when they say do not love the world, it's not saying that don't look good. Not saying that if people are putting nice perfume and cleaning up, that you should just be looking like a barbarian. That's not what he's saying. That don't immerse yourself so much in it that if you don't have it, you want to kill yourself. Do you know that all the greed of life and everything comes from the love of this world? I mean, look at us here. How many shoes are we wearing? It's only two. Right? We don't have more. One trouser. Why would somebody have $1 billion? I'm going to the extreme. Okay. Why would somebody have $2 million and they're still killing people and stepping all over people? Take me. Why? I mean, can't wear five pairs of shoes at once. The love of this world. So it's beyond shoes at that point. It's beyond, it's now, he wants to, he shows up over here. We are shouting, we are crying, say it's him, it's him. So it's beyond, it is not about us. The love of this world, that is the craving. He says, look, and do you know it's happening in church? They don't understand. Do you know the teaching of prosperity has been taken to some kind of extent? Some people think that it is, you just accumulate and accumulate and accumulate alone. So you have, so everybody else around you is stacked poor, but you accumulate so much, the blessing of Abraham is yours alone.
It is the love of this world. And very soon you watch that life, you begin to see comma all over it. Because you can't give yourself to the flesh and live. It will not happen. He says, so do not love this world. Verse 16. For the world offers only a what? A craving for what? Physical. That's all it offers. That's all it offers. So if you don't see it, you can get it. Fast food Christianity. Oh, I like that church. They teach the word. No. Immediately, if you get in there, they make hamburger for your children. You just park your car. You don't bother yourself. You take a number. That is, when I go there, nobody knows me. Immediately, I just finish. I walk away. That's the reason why somebody said he chose the church. That's the reason. For the world offers only craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we do, what? We see. If he does not see it, what is the need for me? What is the need for me? Tell him, trust the Lord. The Lord is doing something. He said, this talk. What is it? Praise the Lord. So when he sees anybody just being led of a spirit, giving himself, he says, don't mind them. He's doing it for something. The person will never, cannot wrap his head about that. This world can be lived beyond what you can see or beyond what you can get. Sacrifice is not in the dictionary. So all his friends, all the people he helped, all the people he sits around, one way or the other, something else will do what? Come. Do you know that he has come in the church? So when they come, they have all this organization. So when he die, 7 people come. These people will come and bury him. So if everyone go, they're only angling on people who will come when the day that he's going to bring out. You're laughing, my dear. That's what happens. That's what happens in church. That's what happens. Then this group, they're going to come the day I'm doing my Christianity. Then dare not come that day of Christianity. Then hear what he'll be vomiting in his mouth about you. What I'm describing, the flesh. Craving for everything we see and pride in what? In our achievements. Do you know people choose to go to church just because of the environment? Or the kind of people that are there. So they actually say, is this person? They say, oh, that's not good. That's not good. Yes. I mean, there's nothing wrong to make decisions and choose where you want to be based on. There's nothing wrong. But that there's sole reason why you're doing it. That's why I tell you, I say, God took us to new work to train us. On our regular eyes, we will never go there. Never. Yes. Because what the world puts is pride in your achievement. Who are the people that are there? Okay, I understand. And their possessions. Now he's going to join that church. You can get connection. If you go outside, the only Mercedes park over there, man can get connection. Do you think that person will find God? He says that if you're not led by the Spirit, he says you'll die. He didn't say if you're halfway. These are not from the Father, but they are what? They're from the world. It's the flesh. It's the flesh. So if you're planting it and you're expecting life, that's the tragedy of life. That's what's happening. That's really the tragedy. And the person is praying all night. The person is shouting everything. But this is what he's operating off of. And God has declared, He said, if this way, you shall surely die. He says, there's no other thing. Pray from now to tomorrow. He said, you're just going to die. Or you can turn to another side. Verse 17. Do I have 17 there? Yes. And this whole thing is doing what? It is fading away along with everything that people want. He said, this thing is not sustainable. It's not what? So, you've made the money. He's on drugs. He's on the third wife. It's not sustainable. It can't hold him. He never can find peace. He can't find peace. The first time I was at church, I said, maybe they tell you, they say, yeah, if just take that vacation to Acapulco, you see them running on TV like this. You say, yes, that is that craving, that war, that is what's going to give me joy. If we just go, this thing, me and my family were fighting, my mom and my wife, my husband were fighting. This thing, I'm fighting with everybody. If I go there, I'm going to realize, you go there, you are fighting with the waiters, you're fighting, you don't have peace. So now Christians too have turned to the world. So now they have to say, take it. They say, take a vacation. Nobody stay there. Go to the word of God. Go be led by the Spirit so you can get peace. They offer them all the cravings of the world to go get there. And they still don't get what? Even in church. But anyone who does what pleases God will do what? In other translation, but anyone but who's led by the Spirit will have peace and joy. That's the first part of our flesh. Let's look at our flesh. Looking at our flesh, what is this flesh? Our tongue. So instead of repeating and saying what the Spirit says, we allow our tongues to speak what? Contrary. Started saying it earlier. So every time, when we're led by the flesh, because he walks by what he sees, walks by what he's feeling. So immediately he does it. The way the whole thing comes out is where? Right away. I'm tired of this thing. I'm tired of this. This thing is not going to work. But God has said that whatever he says his hand to do, will do what? No, he's not led by the Spirit. He's just led by... So he just start doing it. He's saying, this whole thing will fail. You know, you should be in this house. This whole thing... That's all he's speaking in his life. You're an idiot. That's just, he's a Christian. This is in church. Our tongue. So, when one does not bridle their tongue, they confirm all the things that will happen. That's why a lot of people cancel prayers. They will come and be praying all night, pray. Immediately they finish praying, they wake up. Everything they say, they cancel. If they be praying, say, I am blessed, Lord. Father, I thank you for this. I thank you for this. My business will work. My family will work. Father, my walk with you will continue. I know that you love me. Your love will continue. You come and say, well, we are looking unto God, though. We don't know if people like us, if he's going to remember us again. Prayer finished. So, now when things are happening, he's going to rush to those fruits. He doesn't know that the problem was his tongue. That if he had put that one in control, he wouldn't even bear this fruit that he's fighting with. Because he doesn't know the source, he's fighting with the product. So, you must understand that your tongue is a flesh. We must be careful. James chapter 3, verse 2. Indeed, we all make many mistakes. For if we could control our what? Our tongues, we will be what? Perfect and could also do what? Control ourselves in what? Every other way. Praise the Lord. Every other way. These are deep revelations, I'm telling you. These are deep revelations of the truth about life.
If somebody understands and operates it, his life will be a wonder.
He will be perfect. He will be perfect when God says that this is what brings perfection. But you think he will control his tongue? No, he doesn't control it. All he says, he wants to be perfect. I want to be holy like the God is holy. I will not do this. I will not do that. But his tongue has already, so the root is already rotten. So he's going to go make sure that the fruit is going to be perfect. How can the fruit be perfect when the tree is, when the root is rotten? When the root is rotten. The Bible has first said that whatever you meet out to other people will come back to you. So now he doesn't know his tongue. So he's just trying not to meet out, but in his gossip is all over his mouth. If you see where he shreds people down, you go to every place, he has his clique. He's a Christian. But he means well. He really wants to serve God. But he doesn't know this fundamental. He doesn't know these things. And ignorance is not a defense.
Verse 3. Oh, sorry. I don't have it. It was verse 2. James chapter 3, verse 6. And what? And the what? I want everybody to say with me, the what? The tongue. Tongue, tongue.
The tongue.
Now, the tongue has transferred is the hand. We're texting these days.
So you go there, they're talking the kind of garbage that you could have never. Yeah, you're there.
You don't say this hand. God, you didn't give it for this.
The tongue is a flame of what? Fire. It's a flame of fire. It is a whole world of what? Wickedness. You're fighting the devil. The devil's not the problem. The devil is not the what? He's not the problem. You find this guy, he's the one responsible. This is why I've not done this. He's the one, this guy, in this job, this is my boss. You're blaming everybody else. Sitting down, racking your brain, how you going to deal with him? How you going to deal with her? You don't know that that is a product. That is a product, that the source is right there with you. The tongue, it is the whole world of what? Wickedness. Corrupting what? You are. He didn't say corrupting. He said you are. Own internal body. Doesn't go and corrupt somebody else's. Corrupting your entire body. It can set your whole life on what? My brothers, think about this. Fire is not a good thing. If you hear that fire is burning, everybody starts shouting. So if something can set you the fire, that is not a good thing. You say it can set your whole life, not part of your life, on fire. For it is set on fire by what? It says that it is hell. It is hell itself. So if one knows this, one becomes very, very careful with what? With his tongue. He knows that that is a root. That is the root. On Sunday, we were talking about anger. I didn't even finish. I don't know if I... Maybe I'll go back to there someday and continue from that place. There's a lot I didn't talk about that. You mean his tongue. He loses it. The day when he just will lie and lie to you and lie and lie and lie and lie, everything, just lie. It is set fire by itself. Another part, flesh, we're looking for, the cares of life. Matthew chapter 13, verse 22.
So we have looked at the world, the things that it offers, the cravings, the things we see, all of that. We've looked at the tongue, just looking at what is flesh. What is flesh? Matthew 13, 13:20.
As for what was sown among the thorns, this is what? He who does what? Hears the word, but the cares of the world and the pleasure and delight and glamour and deceitfulness of riches does what? Chokes and suffocates the word and yields no fruit.
So he's thinking, going to be led by spirit. He's thinking, I'm going to be good. Going to be good. But the thing is that everything that God can use to work with him, the cares of this world is already standing one side. So immediately that thing is coming, that he's choking it. So there's nothing left to work with. So he's like spinning. All he would have done is, like, yeah, these are cares of this world now. They can't take precedence. But he didn't know that. He thinks he can do all of that and also be led by the Spirit. I was looking for somebody else. The other day, I didn't see them. And then my wife ran to somebody who knows them. And I said, did you tell them that I'm looking for them? He said, yes. Ah, yeah, they said they know you're looking for them, but they had to go to this work. They have to be at this place. I said, and I say, and he wants God to lead. I say, it can't happen. There's some things you can't just help people. That's why I started by saying that this thing, you have to decide in your heart. And you're deciding that because you say that this is the best. You say that this is the spirit of the truth. It's going to guide me to the truth. I'll get the best. So if you say sit down and you see action happening over here, people becoming all kinds of things over here, and there's no, you sit down because you say that this is the best. If you don't make that decision, then it can't work. So he said, oh, I have to rush to this place. I have to go do this one. I have to go do this one. I said, oh, I don't know how to help this one. I don't know how to help. It's not a prayer issue. You know, people are just abusing prayer. People abuse prayer. Somebody that the cares of this world have choked everything that can lead out of them. He got me shouting, he said, pray for me, pray for me. And maybe you'll be joining me in prayer. What am I praying now? You can't walk. You cannot walk. You can't. Unless what I'll be praying is that God open his eyes, let him sit down. I'll be praying, God give him shoes. What am I praying? God heal him, no? Open his eyes now so he can know what the Holy Spirit is doing. So he can lead him to his healing. It says the deceitfulness of riches choke and suffocate the world and yield no fruit.
Praise the Lord.
So it is this flesh, it is these things that we have looked at that produce the things that we're going to read now, which is what people go and be trying to quench.
Look at the book of Galatians chapter 5 from 19.
All these things that we have shown, cares of this world, the tongue, the deceitfulness of riches, the craving for sin, all those things. That if those things are not taken care of, these things will be happening all the time because these are these fruits. You can't stop that. These things cannot be stopped because they are fruit-bearing age. When a mango has grown and got to the fruit-bearing time, it will bear its fruit. If it's bearing it and you're cutting it, it will be bearing it because it has gotten to where? To fruit-bearing. you can't change it. Unless you cut the tree and remove it, it will be bearing fruit. It will be bearing mango fruit. It will be bearing mango fruit. So they say, now the works of the flesh, see now what it produces, all those things we see, if those things are existing, it will be evident in adultery. Fornication. It can be, if you start looking at one of these or many of them or some people, all of it will be working in it. Uncleanliness, lewdness, verse 20. Idolatry. He will not go to church because he doesn't want to put mileage in his car. But he doesn't know that it is God who gives power to do what? But he will now begin to look at that thing as his blessing.
Praise the Lord.
He will now begin to look at that because he doesn't know this. He said, this is the, hey, God has blessed me. He blessed me with a new car. No, I have to take care of it. I can't put mileage on it.
That's blessed me with a new car. That's blessed.
Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention. So now if you go and preach, don't love one another, but he doesn't know root out of it. You go, you'll be struggling.
But as long as the flesh is all working, all those things that we read, it can't stop contention. It can't. Because those things are like remote control. You can't. jealousy, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissension, heresies. Verse 21. Envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. All those things. All this fruit will be dead. Some people you see it all over the place. It's not that they like doing it. Some of them are struggling to stop these things. But you can't stop this fruit. As long as the source is alive. He said, if you walk by flesh, you shall surely die. As long as you're walking by it, you must produce, that person must produce these things. Might produce a cup. If he had done a lot of character management, he might produce only two.
But he'll be producing it.
And some days he will forget. He will produce number 3-1. So that kind of people, every time in church, they have guilty conscience. Guilty conscience. Guilty conscience. So that those ones, you need to preach grace and preach grace and get to the point where you almost just want to say that God say, go do whatever you like. If you go there, you see them become comfortable. Unless you deceit. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in the time past, that those who practice such things will not what? Inherit the kingdom of God. I'll show you something very important in this last word. I'll wrap up. Something very important. See, we still have not even gotten to how the Holy Spirit led us. But these foundations are very important. You need to be known where you are being led out of. What do you mean led away from? Because if you don't know that, if I don't tell you. So he says, I told you before, and I'm telling you now, people who practice these things. In other words, he's not saying that people who are doing it, people who did that, the people who live by the flesh, that they cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Now, people keep saying they won't go to heaven and everything, and that's not what. See, the kingdom of God is life. The kingdom of God is what? So it's just coming back to what he has told them before. He says, when you live by the flesh, and this is at the works, what it begins to produce. First of all, living in life itself, somebody who's so envious will be living a terrible life. You don't need God. People keep thinking that you mean that we don't enter heaven. No, I don't. Heaven is Christ's thing. Heaven is Christ. But I'll show you the kingdom of God. Because Jesus Christ says to them this. He says the kingdom of God is what? Is within you. It's not going to heaven. People think, yeah, if you're smoking, you don't go to heaven. Somebody in this life who is a murderer, in this life himself, he will be a terrible life for him. He doesn't need to wait to die first. Somebody who's a drunken person, somebody who will revel, and although those things we look for, is full of wrath, is full of gossip, is somebody who is married and is living in adultery, his marriage will fall apart. It will fall apart. And that person will be miserable. In this life, he doesn't need dying to go to hell in this life. So the Bible says the kingdom of God is life. So in this state, that person cannot have life. He can't have an abundant life. That's a terrible. When these things are working in a person of life, person of life, person, it's a terrible state.
Romans 4:17. And we'll end with this. And next Bible study, we'll begin to see how to be led now by the Spirit.
For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what? Of what we eat or drink, but of what? Of living a life. That's what the kingdom of God is. So it is in you. If you're led by the Spirit, it is in you. So he began to say, if the Spirit that resurrected Jesus Christ from the dead, if it is in you, it begins to do what? It begins to give life to your mortal body. Not giving life when you die in your spirit body, when you're an angel. No, it's giving life to your mortal body. He said, I have come. So he took the form of man and come to meet human being. He said, I have come that you will have what? Life. Why didn't he just wait in heaven and bring them to heaven to have life? He said, I come and meet you here because you're here. So you can do what? Have life. Here, life. Life. You can have life. It is here. It's not by and by when the morning comes.
All I have when we get to heaven. No, it's not that by and by. It's here. So he says, it is not, but of living a life of goodness, of peace and joy in what? I'll end here. This is how we're now going to go into the Holy Spirit. That's what the kingdom of God is. So somebody who is here ravaged by sickness, somebody here ravaged by adultery, ravaged by envy, ravaged by gossip, he's saying that he's waiting for a mansion. If he sees a mansion and if he sees joy, how would he know? He has never experienced joy. How would he know? Praise the Lord. I'll take any questions or any comments about this teaching or anything you wanted to say about this teaching or something that just ministered to you. Okay, I just want you to just use, yeah, go ahead. That's right. So that's why I say, that's why I came. You see, I came that you might have life and have it what? So if he came for it and you're not with him, then which means that if that's what he came for, then which means there was no life. You were not living life before. And living by the flesh is dead. And he says that the thief comes to kill, to steal, and to what? Destroy. So living without them, and we have seen the flesh, and we have seen the product of it. And we have seen that all those things that we call the flesh, if you don't have the spirit, you can only live in that place. And if you live in that place, this is the only result of it. So yeah. Why don't you just put one of those songs? I just want to give you 5 minutes to just use it and just bless God for his word. The Bible teaches, says that whenever the word of God was read among the children of Israel, when they came out of him, it says they all lifted their voice and thanked God. Because all of a sudden, a revelation of life was given to them. Peace was brought into their heart. Clearance. Their eyes became open. Their eyes. They saw some things different ways. Said all they do, they begin to say, "Ah, God, thank you. And if it wasn't for you, if it wasn't for you, if you didn't give us your word,